I think because we are, we started a couple minutes late, that we started a couple minutes late, and there is just this one little section I want to make sure we mention. This is from The War of Annihilation Against the Self, The Lost Opportunity of Puberty. Parents often have such success with the numerous methods they use to subdue their children that they don't encounter any problems until the children reach puberty. The cooling off, quote unquote, of feelings and drives during the latency period abets parents in their desire to have model children. In the book The Golden Cage by Hilda Brook, parents of anorexic daughters describe how gifted, well-mannered, successful, well-adjusted, and considerate these children had been. The parents cannot understand the sudden change. They are left helpless and uncomprehending by an adolescent who seems to be rejecting all norms and whose self-destructive behavior cannot be modified by logical arguments or by the subtle devices of poisonous pedagogy. At puberty, adolescents are often taken totally by surprise by the intensity of their true feelings, after having succeeded in keeping them at a distance during the latency period. With the spurt of biological growth, these feelings, rage, anger, rebelliousness, falling in love, sexual desire, enthusiasm, joy, enchantment, sadness, seek full expression. But in many cases, this would endanger the parents' psychic balance. If adolescents were to show their true feelings openly, they would run the risk of being sent to prison as dangerous terrorists or put in mental institutions as insane. Our society would no doubt have nothing but a psychiatric clinic to offer Shakespeare's Hamlet or Goethe's Werther, and Schiller's Karl Moor would probably face the same fate. This is why drug addicts attempt to adapt to society by struggling against their authentic feelings. But since they cannot live entirely without them in the storm of puberty, they try to regain access to them with the help of drugs, which seem to do the trick, at least in the beginning. But society's views, which are represented by the parents, and which the adolescent has long ago internalized, must prevail. The consequences of having strong, intense feelings are rejection, isolation, ostracism, and threat of death, i.e. self-destruction. The drug addict punishes himself for seeking his true self, certainly a justifiable and essential goal. By destroying his own spontaneous feelings, repeating the punishment that was inflicted on him in early childhood when he showed the first signs of vitality. Almost every heroin addict describes having initially experienced feelings of hitherto unknown intensity, with the result that he becomes even more conscious of the vapidity and emptiness of his usual emotional life. And I comment, isn't the clarity and simplicity of the truth exhilarating? He simply can't imagine that this experience is possible without heroin, and he understandably begins to long for it to be repeated. For in these out-of-the-ordinary moments, the young person discovers how he might have been. George Eliot wrote, I'm commenting, and Alice concurs and illustrates repeatedly in her essential and transformative work that it is never too late to be the person one should have been. Continuing, the person discovers how he might have been. He has made contact with his self. And as might be expected, once this has happened, he can find no rest. He can no longer act as though his true self had never existed. Now he knows that it does exist. But he also knows that ever since early childhood, this true self has not had a chance. And so he strikes a compromise with his fate. He will encounter his self from time to time without anyone finding out. Not even he will realize what is involved here, for it is the stuff, quote unquote, that produces the experience. The effect comes from outside, quote unquote, and is difficult to bring about. It will never become an integrated part of his self, and he will never have to be able to assume responsibility for these feelings. The intervals between one fix and the next, characterized by total apathy, lethargy, emptiness, or uneasiness and anxiety, bear this out. The fix is over like a dream that one can't remember, and that can have no effect on one's life as a whole. And we'll end our reading of Alice for today there. But I was thinking as I was reading that about that expression or her term or phrase, integrating an experience into one's personality, into one's self, and the fact that under class, most of us never got to develop an authentic self, means that we, for the most part, are walking asleep. I mean, she says here the fix is over like a dream, but our lives are sort of like a dream when we don't integrate our experience consciously, when we, you know, get up and go to work without understanding what that means in the fullest sense possible, seeing from the vantage of the whole. We are like sleepwalking. We are simply doing our, fulfilling our role, but it's not us doing it. And so a lot of us, it seems, are like robots. And that is, in fact, the intention of those who hurt us, have set up the drama, the crisis, the ongoing crisis of lack of access to our vitality. When she said that an equal amount of energy is required to suppress that vital energy of anger and rage, that is borne out by what I'm saying here. While folk begin to seem and behave like robots because so much of their authentic energy they don't have access to, or none of their vitality, authentic energy in any case. So again, imagine, I mean, when I think about this, it is always in the context of the future freedom we desperately need. And I know from my experience and from being with authentic life that when we have access to our full energy and we don't have to devote any of our energy in either suppression or just simply trying to endure what is not what we want, we are going to create the beauty and the harmony and the exhilarating experience of good fellowship that we come to the earth expecting and deserve. So thank you for bearing with me, and I and for my rambling, which is occupational hazard. I love you. Take care of yourselves, and until next week. Peace.
I ain't got no fancy little goods to sell. Ask me who I'm talking about, I'll tell you. You, who's the one that's got me to see? And then man, all upside down. Who has got me in a disease? You know me, I mean you. Who is buying the same old show? I'm unsound, going round and round. All the way to this different show. You know me, I mean you. Yeah, you want, I heard you.